have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
First, I need the national championship.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam. And what a 24 hours it's been for the Fighting Illini program, for the Boardroom podcast. I guess we'll just start. How are we all feeling physically here on this Sunday afternoon?
I feel, what's the word I want to go with? I feel happy, but also very engaged in wanting to talk about Illini basketball right now.
Oh, that's so cute, Josh, how you threw in a little pun there. I wish you would listen to our last episode with maybe a little bit more intentionality there, and we'll just kind of back up real quick for all of our listeners who, you know, had no reason, maybe know why we threw some of those in there. But yeah, Josh didn't even realize that we threw about four or five puns in there in our Wednesday episode talking about how the team needs to be engaged on Saturday, how if we want a ring at the end of the Big Ten season, how this team vows to be better. Josh texted us the next day. I think I agree. He goes, I think I agree with everything you guys said in the podcast. I go, that's great news, Josh. I'm glad you agree with everything. And of course, if, you know, context, he did get engaged yesterday. So congratulations to Josh, a very fitting gift to get you guys those jerseys.
Yeah. Some more context. So Josh has been planning his engagement and was planning part of it, having a party during the Illinois-Michigan State game. But in general, he'd been, like pretty much everyone who ever proposes, pretty nervous the weeks before and is like, don't tell anyone, even though we have all these plans. Like, I really want it to be a surprise. So we did our best to try to stay quiet about it, but since Josh wasn't able to make our last podcast, we're like, we kind of have to mess around, and it's not going to get back to his future fiance that we're going to just drop all these breadcrumbs
I'm insulted that she didn't listen to the episode because I feel like she would have maybe said something.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think she's listened to one episode.
Great.
She listens to the boardroom and then just turns it right off.
So supportive.
Didn't our roommate realize the puns we dropped in there?
Yes, he did. Our roommate did.
That's good. A pretty good catch.
So, maybe I should have listened to the end of the podcast a little bit more attentively.
Yeah, that's okay. But we're glad that it didn't get spoiled, and we're glad that we were able to celebrate with you while watching the Illinois game. And let's talk about that Illinois game. An incredible win over Michigan State, 79-74. Trent Frazier going absolute cash at the end of the game to stick the dagger in the Breslin Center. And just the 14,797 person ugh, as Robert described it. But I know that, I mean, quite honestly, I think we were in and out in watching that game. I know we had sort of priorities during it. I know Josh probably caught a little bit less of the game than he would have liked. But ultimately, I think we got the zeitgeist of the game. We understood enough of it to sort of talk about it. But, I mean, just really exciting at the end of the day.
You got to shout out this one guy. I'm trying to find his exact name on YouTube, but Johnny and I, much later in the evening last night, were pretty much able to watch
Matthew
highlight.
Loves Ball.
Oh my gosh,
Matthew
I love his ball. YouTube videos. Great, immediately after the game, just a 30-minute highlight. He loves Ball.
Somehow he has not been taken down. I don't understand it, but he cuts up the game, puts every possession. So I was able to get a good read on what happened during the game. Got to love Granny Man with six threes, right?
Yes, went 6 for 10. That I think 5 in the first half, and that one in the corner was just insane. It was just wild. It should have been like a steal by Michigan State, and he just and I mean it was crazy. We were watching this game, and obviously it wasn't like the main priority, despite the fact that Josh did move the engagement party an hour earlier just so that we could watch some of the game. But we're watching the Michigan State kind of come back, and it was definitely like you're clenching your hands because you're just worried. They keep hitting shot after shot after shot, but the response from Illinois was amazing. And even though Michigan State was unconscious, and it was long two jumper, long two three, long two, like you pretty much stuck to the game plan. So overall, really encouraging. And honestly, like, if you play that game 10 more times with those exact like shot opportunities, we probably win almost every time and win by more. So pretty encouraging stuff. Kofi was dominant. It was great time had by all.
Right. Obviously, Tyson Walker going absolute scorched earth, doing his best Demetric Trice impression from the Wisconsin game last year. And right, like Johnny said, like if you have that same shot selection, they probably don't shoot lights out like Michigan State did in the final 6 minutes. Poor Josh, he's, you know, working the crowd, and I'm looking at the clock, and there's about a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes left, and he's, you know, he's chatting with some friends and some family members, and I go, all right, Josh, come here, you're with us, and I pull him in for the last minute. I go, we're talking, we're watching the game. Like, I made sure that we, you know, I was with Johnny, I pulled Josh, and I go, all right, you're good, you're with us, you get to watch the last minute of the game, and we got to kind of have that moment all together.
No, I'm very thankful for that. I was taking too many pictures, and between each picture, I'm seeing that Tyson Walker was just, he was literally unconscious. I take smile for a picture, he makes a bucket, we have a turnover, and then take a picture, he makes a bucket, and then smile for another picture. It was just nonstop of that, but Maddie coming in clutch for that last minute and a half, because without that, I wouldn't be able to watch Trent. Just, you know, do something. It was obviously for my engagement. That's the one way I can do it. One way I could say it. He made that three for me. Only me. Yes. No one else.
To a profitable engagement.
How many people at the party realized that you moved it up an hour because of the game? Was that like a known thing, or was it just?
Well, so what happens is I planned it for 1 o'clock because the game was supposed to be at 1:30. And then ESPN was like, nope, we want to pick up the Michigan State Illinois game So they moved it up to 11, and I was like, oh no, like that, I mean, it's not part of my engagement plans. It was just like something that for like the engagement party. And I got a text from Johnny being like, you're not going to believe this. I got a text from like the girls that I was planning it with being like, you're not going to believe this. And
oh, the girls were the first to know that the game was changed.
Oh, did they also
changed.
Have tweet notifications for
right.
Illinois basketball?
They saw Jeremy Werner's, yeah, they saw Jeremy Werner's tweet. Yeah. Right. They saw Jeremy's tweet. Yeah. So you.
Yeah.
Coincidentally,
and so I would say that they did realize that I was part of it. Obviously, they were able to get me an insane gift from Underwood, wishing me a congratulations, as well as two jerseys that say Mr. and Mrs. on the back of an Illini jersey. Awesome gifts. So they were aware. I would say that the Illini game was part of the engagement plans. But what I wish happened maybe more was that they allowed me to watch the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that like through all this planning and gifts, like Illinois basketball is a big part of your personality. And then you're like, part of a great thing about Illinois basketball is watching Illinois basketball. So that would have been nice.
I would say a lot of my relationships are stemming that like with my friends stem from the University of Illinois. So it was great watching the game with them. We did have two Michigan State fans in the crowd, which I kind of felt bad because at the end of the game, Johnny just starts an ILL chant. And I just walk over to them. And I'm like, I'm sorry for this.
They were good sports about it. I mean, look, we still had like several hours of the party after the game ended. It wasn't like the party was like two and a half hours long. So we still got to do both. But Josh, way to lay a fantastic foundation for the start of the rest of your life there. You know, your priorities are in order. Fiance is tied with important conference matchups.
The line that I used before yesterday was that I am married to the Illinois athletic program. Like they are I am 100% married to them. I wasn't married yet. I'm still technically not married yet to my now fiance. So now we're like working our way where it could start being more of like a 50-50 where I have two marriages at once.
That'll be tough to manage.
Definitely should sign a prenup with Josh Whitman just in case.
Yeah. So speaking of your other marriage then, is that the best shot of Trent Frazier's career? I know he's had a lot of great shots, but I was thinking about it. I've watched some of his highlights. Like, he's not a huge late game assassin, partially because so much of his career was playing next to Io, and that was kind of Io's role. I don't know if there are other shots that come to mind. Like when we played Indiana and he went off, it wasn't quite as close of a game as it was. He was just putting the games away, but with like 8 minutes left as opposed to a minute 30. So I'm curious if you guys have any other comps for that one.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't think I have one like that. you're probably right. This was probably his latest like winning shot. Like it obviously we were up two at the time, but it won us the game. So it's a game winning shot. I don't think he has had anything within the last minute. He's had obviously like clutch shots to bring us back into games, like in like Fink Rallyville, like 4 years ago. Yeah. But I can't think of one.
Yeah, I think there was the game tie at Wisconsin, which was like our first not fake.
Oh,
rally.
That was a great shot. Yeah,
that was a great shot. Maui is like the one that got away. I feel like not that it like. Really would have mattered that season, but it just would have been sick
against
Gonzaga. To beat
Gonzaga. Oh, yeah. That air ball three.
I don't think anything else. Oh, there was the missed Notre Dame 3-2. Yeah. That was like halfway down.
That was all in the span of a couple weeks, and both of those were just like halfway down.
Tough
couple. That was his freshman year, right?
Sophomore year,
yeah.
Okay, so that was the comment after that Notre Dame game, I think, was Underwood saying, like, I'm going to have him take shots for the next 2 years, the same exact shots for the next 2 years. I'm happy he keeps taking it, right? Do you guys remember that comment?
Something like that, yeah.
Vaguely, yeah.
Right, maybe we should get that clip and then tweet it out and get some numbies.
Yeah, okay.
Great. A little behind the scenes
we'll
here.
We'll never know our plan.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, obviously recency bias does play a little bit of a role, but in terms of like what this game means now in the present, obviously it's a huge, huge shot, you know, staying pace with Wisconsin and Purdue in the Big Ten, getting a huge road win, you know, in the Big Ten. And I think this is why me, Johnny, and Sam were sort of talking about like on Wednesday after the Rutgers game, like college basketball, let's not play the sky is falling. Like there is a lot of Sam, was it Fugazi? The word I keep forgetting,
Fugazi,
Pajimski. Fugazi. Yeah, there's a lot of
Pajimski.
Yeah, there's a lot of parity, right? And so you play a really tough game, you get your butts handed to you on Wednesday at the rack, and then Saturday, you know, pun intended, you're reengaged on both ends of the court, and you play really well. You know, Rutgers probably the better team than Michigan State, which is kind of weird to say, but this is probably why you don't go so high, so low, emotional roller coaster from game to game. Unless we win, then we can get really emotionally high.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of that, like the emotional roller coaster, one thing that I kind of like is after the Rutgers game, Plummer and Grandison, they fly back and at like 2 a.m. are getting shots up. And then after the MSU game, they fly back and they're getting shots up at like 5:00 p.m. last night. It's like, it's a thing for those guys. It's like, never be satisfied. Good game, bad game, get shots up because they're going to need us. I mean, Plummer didn't really hit any threes.
Good defense, though.
But, yeah, solid defense.
Maybe his best defensive performance.
And, yeah, we can kind of go into it. I mean, I feel like we've talked for a little while and haven't mentioned the fact that, like, Kofi just 27-9. Just, like, it's almost an afterthought. It's kind of crazy how game in, game out, he's so consistent. And we just kind of assume that just because he's such a physically dominating presence. But, man, we are so lucky to have at least 4 more conference games with Kofi Coburn.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
Yesterday was one of those days where you just kind of knew it was a make his free throws day. I feel like it's like it kind of comes and goes in bunches. So it was once he makes a few, it definitely is like less of a hack a shack, a lot easier to watch.
Right, which is what, and I know Tyler tweeted it in like the last 4 minutes. He goes, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I believe it was Tyler. I wouldn't be surprised if they go hack a Kofi here. But when you prove that you can make your free throws, it completely changes the complexion of the game in the last 4 minutes, because then you're not relying on Kofi having to maybe make his free throws. You can run your offense, and you can run your set plays, and that, you know, it's huge when he makes his free throws, and that goes without saying.
Yeah, I mean, Robert pointed out like, Michigan State cut it to 3 with 3:14 left in the game, and essentially all they need is like one shot or an empty possession, and the possessions were Kofi scores in the paint, Kofi makes both free throws, Bella makes one of two free throws, Trent makes a layup, Trent hits a three. So you're like, even if you didn't play your best defensively down the stretch, like great offense beats great offense sometimes, and that was enough. And what's funny too, like I know I referenced it earlier about kind of Tyson Walker's like flukiness. I pulled together some stats. He entered the game shooting 36.9% on 2-point field goals and 53.6% on threes, and went 7 for 9 from 2 and 3 out of 3 from 3. So, like, the game plan was probably like, go under screens if he's below the 3-point line, go over if he's above the 3-point line. And we kept letting them take those long range twos, and fortunately we were able to find a way to win.
I'm glad we've had this conversation about the game and have not mentioned in like an award, like awards at the end of the year, where X and X deserves National Player of the Year, Big Ten Player of the Year, or Defensive Player of the Year. Because with 4 games left in this regular season, while you're tied with Purdue and you're tied with Wisconsin at the top of the standings, like, it does not matter what award they win, as long as we just end up with the banner. Like, I care so much more about the actual game. Like, it does help us if we have Kofi win National Player of the Year. It increases our spotlight. But do you know what increases our spotlight more? Winning Big Ten titles against our competition. And so I'm just very happy that we had this whole conversation for the last, I don't know, 15 minutes. Didn't mention it once. Proud of us.
I'm really proud of us, too. Very humble of us. Except for Naismith Defensive Player of the Year, with Trent not being on that list. Or are we not even allowed to mention the award that must not be named after Brad just completely threw it under the bus there, and rightfully so.
It's wrong, but so-and-so doesn't matter. And the Wednesday night, he didn't have a good defensive night, but we're just going to bring up the game that he did have a good defensive night.
Water finds its level, though. I mean, come on. He's been an incredible defender. Yes, of course he had an off night. National Player of the Year is going to have an off night.
After one specific game, it does not, we should, if we're talking at a more 100-foot view level, then sure, let's talk about who deserves what award. Right now, when we're in the grind of a Big Ten schedule and trying to, I love saying that as a Big Ten fan, because the SEC fans do it for football.
We're not in any grind. We're a fan. I mean, it is a grind. We're fans.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
you're right. We're in the grind.
Yes, of course.
I would say that Max Christie might contend that Trent Frazier should win Defensive Player of the Year, given he's guarded him twice.
Christie will be telling NBA scouts that he was guarded by Defensive Player of the Year.
One thing, too, wanted to point out, Andre Curbelo, thought he was pretty solid. I kind of harped on him the last time we were talking, just about he's been really inconsistent, and he didn't have a crazy scoring game or crazy assist game, but he was in there and just played within his role. Turned the ball over once. Really, our entire guards between Frazier, Plummer, DeMonte, and Curbelo turned the ball over one time in the entire game, which is pretty insane. So glad that they were just give themselves opportunity to score points and not make mistakes, not beat themselves. And it's encouraging for Curbelo. We are at our best when he's playing well. Just seeing him kind of play in rhythm, play as a role player, really encouraging, because you kind of saw in that second half, it was Curbelo with the starters kind of closing the game out, because that's who Brad trusts on defense. So if we can typically play a team that doesn't have Tyson Walker shooting the best game of his life, I feel pretty confident in that defense.
Yeah, I feel like he's someone we at the start worried about, being able to slow himself down. Now he's found his role enough that I'm okay, he can start to ramp it up again. So I'm glad he can kind of control those levels.
And speaking of other role players too, I really liked the minutes out of Coleman Hawkins, the block, some of the assists, that pass to Kofi. That looked like a fake shot almost.
That was incredible.
That was beautiful.
I know Kofi was out in the first MSU game, but didn't he have arguably one of his best games in the first MSU game as well? I know he was thrusted into that role because of no Kofi, but he played really well, I think, in game one as well.
Did he?
Or am I thinking of the other Coleman game?
The first Michigan State game was the BBV Omar Payne.
I'm thinking of the BBV Omar Payne game, yes, of course, not to be confused with the Coleman game, which maybe now is the Coleman game. Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, yeah, go ahead, Josh.
No, the Coleman game was anything in non-conference play against a crappy school.
Of course, yes. UTRG.
GV.
Yeah, or Jackson State, I think he was really good. He was at one point a KenPom top 10 player in the country. so we'll hang a banner for that one.
Josh is like, we don't care about hanging banners for Coleman non-conference games. We just want we're grinding out here. We don't want a banner for that.
We are grinding out here. I have a question. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about the RJ minutes yesterday. I didn't see, I'm looking at a box score right now.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not seeing much.
He didn't have his best game, which he was due for, right? And I think it was Brad in the second half just trusting his guys and trusting DeMonte and trusting Grandison and wanting to keep Jake especially on the floor. So didn't have his best offensive performance, missed a couple of shots. But, hey, you can kind of weather that storm when you've got a deep enough team. And I know we love calling him Star J, but he's still a freshman, so you're going to have performances like that.
Star J mode was not activated against Michigan State, and that is okay.
The one thing I call out from the podcast is not the thing that you guys are trying to get me.
The Star J. It's okay. Like you said, he's freshman.
We had 10 people come in yesterday, and it's just interesting that it was just 9 minutes out of RJ. And Luke and Brandon have not been playing much as of late, but it seems just obviously we're just putting in our experienced players, especially when you're having to face Tom Izzo. Seems like Brad was just trusting his guys. And Star J is, the person who comes in for Jacob. And when Jacob's going 6 for 10, there's no reason for him not to be in.
Yeah, and I mean, second half, too, he was kind of going to the hoop as well. Also had 5 assists, so, just a tremendous all-around performance from Grandison. One thing that I was thinking about, too, about Trent, not necessarily an award, because I think Trent is all about winning, is he's kind of the player that you really wanted Adam Miller to be, which was Adam Miller kind of left the team because he wanted the ball in his hands more, right? And felt like the team was more centered around Curbelo or whatever. But Trent, on the other hand, between his freshman and his sophomore and his junior year, saw his role offensively decrease every year. But what does he care about? He cares about winning. He turns himself into a great defensive player. He cares about, okay, I'll try to be a better off-the-ball shooter when the ball's in Io's hands. And then come back in his fifth year after Curbelo's down, Io's gone, we don't really have any true point guard on our team. He takes the ball back and thrives in that role, despite the fact that he's almost been playing, 3 years in a completely different role. So that's just a winner. And I'm just so proud of him, even if it's a 3-for-9 performance from him. Tom Izzo said he was the best player on the court. And he said, he might be my favorite Big Ten player. And you know what? Illini fans agree with you because he's just a warrior.
I mean, that's probably a little bit of coach speak saying he's the best player on the court. I mean, it's hard to argue that he played better than Kofi and Grandison. I do love the humility and the what that message means in terms of the impact that Trent has had on the program and in that game. So I'll let it slide. But yes, it is hard to maybe say that he outplayed guys like Kofi and Grandison. But yes, absolutely speaks to his impact on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, just his defense is always there. It was there yesterday. He really bothered Max Christie. 5 assists, no turnovers. Not a great shooting night, but I mean, I know Tom Izzo maybe is just throwing praise and maybe doesn't think that hard about how dominant of a player Kofi is or how incentive.
Again, we take it for granted.
Grandison, but it's just really special to have a guy like Trent. And so many kids have transferred. You look at Mark Smith, you look at Adam Miller, you look at so many kids across the country who, if things aren't going their way, I mean, you saw the losses we took his freshman and sophomore year. For him to stick with it is just, it's really special.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely awesome.
There's one segment that I just want to add to our show. It's called the troll of the game. And today's troll of the game is not by any specific Twitter account. It's actually by an Instagram user named Morez Johnson Jr. And he had an Insta story at the end of the game saying, "Let's go." And he tagged Jeremy Fears. So that is just an all time troll.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
I think I'm already in love with Morez.
You're only allowed to tweet at recruits if you are also a recruit. That's the rule.
Is that the one stipulation? I mean, let's be very careful before we throw that out there, because I know we've been on team do not tweet at recruits at the hardest possible level. All right, so let's look ahead to the rest of our schedule. We got a fun little couple game, four more games to go. Up first is Ohio State on Thursday, and then Michigan on Sunday, which we'll talk a little bit about Michigan, because that team and that coaching staff might look a little bit different on Sunday than it did about an hour ago. But first up, Ohio State, who got their butts beat pretty handily by Iowa. Was that game in?
That was in Columbus. Yep. Yeah,
yeah,
Columbus.
But it was like a 13-point win, and I learned about this prior to recording this that you know, KenPom is pretty high on Iowa. I think 16, and so I had kind of written them off a little bit. I think the bracketologists have them the last four in, so obviously they're not anything to mess with, but still pretty impressive by Iowa there to beat Ohio State, and kind of an interesting place that Ohio State is in right now, I think.
Yeah, and what's interesting too is Ohio State just hasn't played quite as many games as everyone else in the Big Ten, so they play again on Monday night. So hopefully your fresh legs from almost, 5 days off, Saturday to Thursday, versus Ohio State's playing Monday night and then already getting ready to go to Champaign on Thursday night, and potentially scuffling after losing to Iowa. It's a weird matchup because we always struggle with a really good foreman, and EJ Liddell is probably the best foreman in the Big Ten.
And he always has a fun game
against us. Yeah, he's set his career high multiple times against us. So hopefully this is the last time that we play him and he does not have a career high, and we can, because here's the thing, if we protect home court, we have three of our next four at home. You protect home court, you're at least 15-5.
Right.
So
right.
That would feel pretty good. But it's a tall task beating Ohio State.
Absolutely.
It is a tall task. And obviously we're in a three-way tie right now with Wisconsin and Purdue. They play each other, so there's not a full control of your own destiny, but some teams are gonna lose on their own. So if you can get past OSU, maybe Michigan, just did ourselves a bit of a favor with today. We'll see what happens there. And then you can hopefully control your own destiny and know what you're working with in the last two or three games.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still processing everything that just happened in Madison. If you haven't seen the clip, I'm sure by the time this episode drops, it'll have been all over the internet. It already is. But Juwan kind of refusing to shake the hand of Greg Gard, starting to get into some words, the two of them, and then basically open fist hitting one of the assistant coaches. And then a couple of the Michigan players like throwing shots and a malice at the Kohl Center almost. It was just a shocking to see at significant suspensions coming, I would imagine, for Juwan, and I would imagine for several of his players. Johnny sort of mentioned, well, maybe this lights a fire under him, and I get it. There's probably a difference, though, between, like, you know, your baseball manager getting ejected in a 162-game season versus, you know, you have four more Big Ten games and you just lost a couple of your players for a couple games and your head coach for a couple players or a couple games. Does that light a fire under you? Maybe. At the same time, is that a good thing to do? No, that was, I mean, quite frankly, like, there's just no space for that, but just remarkable to just visually see that unfold at the end of the game.
Get the, like, a baseball manager wanting to do that, where, because they have really no direct impact, it does to get, like, ejected from a game. And obviously this was after a game, so it's not like Juwan's trying to get ejected, but when a basketball coach does this during a game and they lose at least two free throws and the ball when they get a technical or anything like that, it absolutely makes no sense, and it directly impacts the game. Where also these kids now not being part of, hopefully, like, I'm saying hopefully because one, you can't fight people in basketball. Like, that's not what you're allowed to do. So they should obviously be out for at least one or two games. You're obviously negatively impacting it. It looked pretty bad for the Michigan program. And I tweeted it right away because I actually believe it and not trying to just be a troll here. Juwan should be fired.
That's hot. That's hot.
I think that's a very hot
I think
take.
That's a little hot take.
Woody Hayes.
I know maybe emotions are running high at the end of that game, but I mean, that seems pretty.
It has nothing to do with their recruiting classes. It has nothing to do with
what you are.
Five stars.
I mean, we're all worried, though. I mean, haven't we been on record saying Phil Martelli is the best X's and O's coach on that team? So
he's no longer part of this
team. Oh,
that's right.
Perfect.
That's right.
Thank
that, That's
Thank
right.
you, Lard.
So who's taking over for Michigan the next game or two while Juwan is out? I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing. As good of a coach as Juwan is, I am still kind of nervous because guys react in certain ways, and I know Michigan's kind of had an up and down season, but I know Hunter Dickinson's not going to be out.
Did he throw a punch? It wasn't
he didn't throw a punch. And I know Illinois is marked on his schedule because he didn't play us last time, and obviously the whole last year. So this is almost like his chance to even the score. And it's almost like for us, it would be kind of full circle because it felt like they stole away a Big Ten title from us last year. So if you can win this game on the road, that almost guarantees you a share of a Big Ten title, assuming you take care of business at home. So it really sets up for a weird combination of things. Hopefully Diabate is out for our own personal reasons because he's really good and he's a four man who could give us some struggles. Like when we played him, he was kind of playing center because they didn't have Dickinson, but I don't know if we really have anyone to guard him. So hopefully, I mean, he threw punches like Kevin Warren. Please do something about this. I mean, when Brad Underwood said it's like a fight in a Pizza Hut parking lot, he did not mean a literal fight, and that's what these guys did. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, that was just, I mean, wild, absolutely wild. And so it's likely that they won't be at full strength for both of the matchups against Illinois, which, you know, if you're a Michigan fan, you can't really complain. Injuries happen, and also, like, I know maybe I want to know the context. I know context is important. But don't throw a punch at the same time, and, you know, you'd be at full strength. So I'd be very curious to hear what was said, either from, you know, Wisconsin or Greg Gard to start it. Not saying that that did happen or what Juwan said, but just sort of what ignited this whole ordeal. Because these things don't just, I would imagine these things don't just happen. There's sort of some sort of boil over a context. And
I think too, it's interesting to see whether or not Juwan's going to be held to a higher standard because you're a coach.
You're a head
and
coach.
Like, I don't know if I've really ever seen a head coach. It wasn't a full on punch. He definitely kind of open fisted a guy in the face. Like he could have just walked away and not created this confrontation and a fight break loose. So it's one thing when it's a player and it's an 18-year-old kid. It's another thing when it's a grown man doing that. So you would think the Big Ten would come down pretty hard on him. And even if not the Big Ten, I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan themselves suspended him just because they're all about being such a high-class institution. Well, it's like, here's your opportunity to discipline a coach who disrespected your university and disrespected the game.
I got two things to say. One is we'll use the Alan Griffin baseline of two game suspension from the Big Ten because when Allen stepped on the Purdue player, but also I'll do something that many people don't do. And that's admit when they are wrong. And Phil Martelli is still the assistant coach.
Oh, actually. No.
And so now he's their head coach. And maybe that's a good thing for Michigan.
Maybe they'll do the Barry Alvarez or the, the Bob Stoops where John Beilein just,
Oh, please, no.
What's nightmare scenario? Yeah. But,
One thing I was going to say about all this is, I mean, if we're at an advantage against Michigan, like Wisconsin can only blame themselves for instigating this. They obviously just hurt themselves in the Big Ten title race. So I think it's only fair.
Totally agree. Wisconsin people aren't blaming Wisconsin here, but they call the timeout up 16. Like, I understand why Juwan Savage is upset here.
Okay, like, but you could be upset.
Like, allowable thing.
But, I'm not saying you should not hit someone in the face, but, like, don't call a timeout up 16 with the ball with under 30 seconds left.
Hey, you want to practice for when, you know, maybe you're up 16 in a tournament game. You know, you got a limited amount of opportunity for reps here. But, yes, obviously you can be upset, but that doesn't allow you to engage in that type of physical altercation. So very interesting to see what is going to happen. Who will bring down the punishments, whether it's the NCAA, Big Ten, or Michigan, like Johnny said. Anything else about this interesting Saturday afternoon here before we sign off before our next game against Ohio State?
Just got to go 1-0 against Ohio State. I saw Chester Frazier tweet that out, said go 1-0 four times. And I think for him, it's really personal because he never won a Big Ten championship as a player, so I feel like he understands how important it is, how he feels the same way we do, which is like a banner means so much. And like I was looking at it, his freshman year, they came in second in the Big Ten. His sophomore year, they had like the fourth best record. His senior year, they had the third best record. So it's like, it's such an elusive thing that if you can just get this Big Ten championship, it means so much for your program.
It's huge. I know, Johnny, you mentioned going 1-0, and you can only, you know, you can only go 1-0, except for yesterday, Josh. Congratulations. Absolutely going 2-0 yesterday, getting the big YES, getting the big win as well. So
2-0-1.
2-0-1.
Newcastle drew.
That's a real bummer. Get out of here. Congratulations. No, congratulations, Josh.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations, Illini Nation. A huge win up in East Lansing on Saturday. We will catch you on the next episode. ILL.